Well, this is unusual for me, but right off the start here, I'm going to give you the title of this split sermon. If you read last night's announcements and letter from Mr. Bradford, you'll already know. But the title is "Don't Limit God?" Yes, and the question mark is correct. It wasn't a typo on Mr. Bradford's part. My wife didn't ask me that question. Did you have a question mark in there? I said, yeah, absolutely, I have a question mark in there. And that's an important part of the lesson I think we need to look at today, and I would like to look at. Don't limit God. And there's many places in the Bible, there are many examples of God being limited. And we have a struggle with that because we know that God is all powerful. There is no limit to God. And that is absolutely true. But we can limit what God can do for us and what God can do for others through us. And so today I would like to turn to a book and a chapter in the Bible and mainly concentrate on that book and that chapter. And we will go to a few other supporting verses. But if you would turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. And I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible has a title above this chapter that says, God's Kindness to a Rebellious Israel. And I would like to look at this chapter in more detail today, or at least points in this chapter, and glean some lessons, some points that we need to concentrate and focus on in our own lives so that we do not repeat the history that the ancient Israelites lived. In this psalm, the writer gathers up a wealth of historical evidence to show that in spite of all the foolishness and the disloyalty and the disobedience of God's people, that the Lord still loved them and patiently watched over them and provided for them. And I'd also remind each one of us that the same is true today. We do some terrible things, and God still watches over us and provides for us. And it's just a reminder in our own lives of how easy it is to turn our face on God, but He never turns His face on us. This chapter is an account where this is recorded particularly for our benefit and our warning. We're going to look at a few key points. I got five ways in which we limit, or that we can limit, God and what He can do for us and can do for all of mankind. I'd ask you to look at verse 41. Verse 41 in this chapter. And it says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, I read that out of the King James Version. In the modern King James, and I believe the New King James, it said they pained the Holy One of Israel. They mean the same thing, that they limited God and what He could do for them. So the answer is, can God be limited by man? The answer is a clear yes, in bold print if you want to put it in your notes. Also, there are two principles, overall principles in this whole chapter that I think would do us good to bring to mind. And the first one of that, those principles, is God is ready and longing to do great things for and through His people. You can read through every verse in here, and that's an overriding topic that you'll glean from this chapter. And the second one is very much related to it, as you well can imagine. But God is not allowed by us. He's limited by us in doing and blessing things for us. Now, there's two aspects of that that I'd like to briefly go over. And one is, consider the people who are guilty of limiting the power and the work of God here in this chapter. Turn or look at verse 1. And read it. It says, give ear. It's the next phrase. O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. God is not speaking to the general public, as we might say. He's not speaking to the rest of the world today. He's concentrating on us, the called out ones. Sure, he has a plan for all of mankind. But right now, he's focused on the ones he's calling right now. And we need to remember that in our daily lives. That what's going on in the world around us, sure, God knows what's going on in the world around us, but he's not focused on fixing that right now. God is focused on us. He wants us to be focused on us and our conversion and how we become more like him, how we can become his children, how we can reflect his light, his being, his character. I think it's Satan's, trying to think of the right word, but I think Satan delights in the fact that he gets us all uptight about the things that go on around us. We lose sight, I think, by doing that sometimes, of the big picture, I guess, the big picture that God has planned for right now. The big picture isn't saving the world. It isn't fixing the moral depravity and everything else that's going on around us. It's converting his called out ones and making them part of his family. And the rest will follow after that. Everyone will have their chance. Our chance is now. And we have to be careful that we don't limit God in his plan. Because the only ones that can limit God in his plan for us is us. I'm the only one that can limit God's plan for me. I'm ultimately responsible for my conversion. And you are ultimately responsible for your conversion. With God's help, of course. But we cannot limit God. We have to do our part. The second thing overall here that I think we need to remember and to keep in light is exactly who we may be limiting. We're not talking about stopping somebody from doing something that they want to, one of our fellow workers or one of our family members or anybody else. We're talking about the creator, the sustainer, and the redeemer of mankind. We're talking about the almighty, the one and true God. And we can't lose sight of that fact. This is not the president of the United States. This is not the head of whatever organization you can think of. This is the head of all, the creator of all. And to think, maybe not always thinking, but by not thinking and not following through on things, this is the one that we're actually limited. I think if we think about God and exactly who God is and the part that God plays in our lives, we would find ourselves very respectful of that and maybe not have some of the issues that we run into and some of the things that we do to limit him. You know, we can look around in God's creation, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it always makes me just stand in awe of what I see around God's creation, from the smallest to the largest thing. Sometimes it's not so easy to see the small, but think of all the microscopic workings within your own body and how when they work so marvelously. But when one little part of it goes a little bit astray, things really fall apart quickly. God created all of that. That's part of his master plan. And then we can look into the sky on a nice, cold, dark night as tonight. And if it's not cloudy, which it probably will be, but next time it's not cloudy, look up there and look at the stars. You know, here we are in our own solar system on the planet Earth. We have our own sun. But that's just one little, minuscule part of God's creation. It goes on from there. We have the solar system. We have the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy is part of another cluster, which is part of another supercluster, which is eventually part of the universe. And what is the universe? We don't really know what the universe is. We don't know its extents. We don't know its boundaries. And our God, the one that cares for us, is the creator of that. We want to limit what he can do? We certainly don't. I don't think any of us deliberately tries to limit God. But it's through the smaller things sometimes that we lack doing, in many cases, that we do limit him. I know everybody in this room knows that God is the creator. And he created everything through Jesus Christ. So my question is, are we limiting God in some way? Once again, in chapter 78 here, ancient Israel, it says in verse 41 that they limited God. And we know since there's no power other that can interfere with God other than us, that it's by our own actions that we do that. And as a loving, perfect parent, our God is always willing to do the best for us. And at times, what is best for us is not clear to us. I think God will bless us in ways that we don't really understand. And we may think, well, that this is not a blessing. But it truly is. So, where is this all leading? I'd like to spend the rest of the time I have here looking at five specific ways that we can limit God. And they're all mentioned here in chapter 78. The first one, let's read chapter 78, verse 8. And it says, "And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." They lacked a confidence, a faith in God by their actions or their inactions. And we can too. I ask you, do you fully trust God? And I use the word fully. You fully ask God for things and fully trust that he will give you what is best for you. I know I haven't at all times. And you don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Do we have faith that God will take care of us? That God will provide? Fully have faith. It doesn't mean we don't have our part to play in it. But when push comes to shove, and we find situations that we really have no control over, do we trust God? Do we put it into His hands, ask Him for His blessing in the trial that we're going through? Once we turn it all over to God, I'll use the term, it's God's problem now. And that's the way God wants it. God will deal with it in the best way for us. And we have to have the utmost faith and confidence that that's what will happen. He is the creator and the designer of all life. And He has programmed the birds of the field to take care of themselves. He reminds us that, you know, aren't we not more valuable than the birds? In verse 27, Matthew says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? If every one of us might like to reduce our stature horizontally by a couple inches, and we have difficulty even doing that. But God can and would if we did the things that He asks us to do, if we obeyed Him, had faith in Him, and if it was the right thing to have happen to us. Why do we worry about clothing? And I'm not advocating that we become nudists. That's not what this verse... I actually had somebody at work say, well, what are you promoting here? No, that's not what we're even talking about. It's how we can get so wrapped up that we lose sight of what God's plan is for us by worrying about physicalities. And things. And sure, I know it's not easy not to, but we each have to get better at it every day. We're asked to become perfect. Word mean to become mature, to refine our knowledge and our actions, to refine our faith, to refine our confidence in God. And we can do that. We all know how to do it. We all know that if we ask God to help us do it, He will. Turn to verse 10, or look at verse 10, the second point. We read, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forget His works and His wonders that He had shown them. This point talks about forgetting, but it also talks about the idea of disobedience, that even when they remembered to do something, they didn't do it the way they were told to do it. They disobeyed the law of God. And we can get to that point, not that we deliberately disobey, but that we don't do our best in obeying. We don't go all in obeying. Sometimes we cut the corner. And it's easy to do. Because humanly, it seems expedient. But in the grand scheme of things, in God's plan of conversion for each one of us, it isn't. You know, when we act like this, we are limiting God in what He can provide as blessings to us. And I think on all these points, it's important to remember it's not just us that this affects. It's the blessings that God can provide through us to others, whether they be converted or unconverted. doesn't really matter. We can provide, or God can provide for all through us. You know, we go through life and we learn many lessons, and we know that we've got a lot to learn yet. We have a lot before we reach that goal, we reach that pinnacle that has been set up for us, and that's to be like Jesus Christ, our elder brother. That's the target, and we're all short of that. But we still have time. We need to get there. And more importantly, we need to be constantly moving in that direction. James 2, verse 10, once again, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." There's the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. How many times do we meet the letter of the law, but really not in all circumstances the true spirit of the law, as God would like us to and has commanded us to? We lose sight of the work that we must do in achieving that, how we must put out fully to achieve that target. We may be limiting God by telling Him in effect that we really want our lives not to change for the better. I know that sounds harsh, but when you boil it down, that's really, really what we're saying, is that we know better. We don't believe that you have our best interest in mind. And it, once again, I'm not saying that we deliberately stand in rebellion against God. It's not that. It's just that we are not polishing that piece of pottery that God's hands are molding. We're not allowing God to make the best of us in the way He would. Well, the third is also in this verse, and it goes on through verses 11 through 17, but back in where we started in verse 10, it talked about forgot His works in verse 11. And if you read down through 17, it talks even more about things that they did and forgot the law of God. And I ask you, how many things has God done for you in your life? And those are only the ones you know of. And I'm sure your list is quite long. I know mine is. You know, it's easy for us to forget quickly answered prayers and move on to the next thing, the next request, you might say. God's goodness and His mercy are too quickly forgotten. And we must remind ourselves every day of that very fact, that we can't do that. We have to keep in the forefront of our mind exactly what God is doing for us and through us. Let's look at verse 32 for the next item. And here, verse 32, it says, "In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wondrous works." Yeah. We can limit God by our doubt and our unbelief. Sure, we all believe, but we all have doubts. Maybe not big doubts, but we do have doubts from time to time. Because if we didn't have doubts, why do we do some of the things we do when we can read, we're told by God not to do that? Well, we kind of doubt that God's right about what he put in his word. That's not really the way it works. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says, "And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." It's talking about Jesus Christ in his own hometown, own area. Because they didn't believe, he was unable to do things for them, to show them things. They limited his ability to bless them. Let's look at verse 36 and verse 37. In verse 36 and verse 37, it says, "Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their hearts were not steadfast with him." We limit God when we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk, to put it in the modern vernacular. It's easy to say things, but it's not always so easy to follow through on what we say. We mentioned that last week. We need to be a people that say what we're going to do and then do what we said we were going to do. And once again, it's not that we're doing this at great scales necessarily, but even at the minor level, it's not good. It's being insincere. And it's not insincere necessarily to each one of us between ourselves, but it's being insincere to God. In Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, Christ told the people there, he says, "Hypocrites." I'm sure that's a word that none of us wants to hear God speak about us. "Well, you were a hypocrite." Now, one last, not a point here in the chapter, but how can we get better at not having these issues, these five issues that we went over? Lack of faith, lack of obedience, forgetfulness, doubt and unbelief, and insincerity. Once again, not in grand scale, but in the finer perfection and coming towards that target that we all have, is to be like our elder brother Jesus Christ. We have a greater potential in each one of us, and God sees that potential in us. And we need to go in prayer and fasting and all the things we hear about all the time to God and ask him to help refine us, to weed out those little things that are keeping us that little step away from where we should be and where God wants us to be. Prayer. It's our wicked ways. I use wicked in double quotes here in my notes. Yeah, wicked is just, you know, it, meaning here, it's just, it's not what God would have it be. Therefore, it's wicked. We all have that greater potential. And God wants to bless us very much. And we need to allow him to do so. We need to allow him to bless us as we grow in zeal, as we grow in faith in his way, as we draw closer to him through fervent and genuine prayer from the heart. As we do that, we will discover that as we align ourselves with that plan that God has for us, that we draw closer to God, we will be removing the limits that we previously placed on his blessings. The power of our Almighty God is not only on display around us in his creation, if we only take the time to look, but is in action in our lives and should become day by day more evident to us and those around us. But It's only to the extent that we allow it. Look out, as I said, look up into God's universe, look around you, look at God's creation, and be reminded to not limit Almighty God in your life.